Welcome to this week's call on Buddhas and Butterflies, working with transformation of worry into its healthy role of clarity. Okay, my loves, we're going to head into our round six session with this. And a little update for next year's Buddhas and Butterflies. So we're sticking with those 12 astrological houses with a whole lot of flow happening in between. And I'm working with information on really both fronts, but I'll be emphasizing and advertising the houses. And then the website people are slow. I'm working with new people. So I'm maybe just needing to have a bit more patience as they get on board with everything. I am very hopeful that by next week I should have everything that I need set up and running and ready to roll on the site. So if you know of anyone else who is interested in joining, I am very open to opening up those doors and having more folks in our community, because the more the merrier. And there's something about extra observation that can also just amplify the work. That's why sessions in group tend to be even more impactful in a certain way. And then sessions solo can get more into like the tailored to you individual pieces in between. So the impact of Buddhas and Butterflies, if it's touched you in some way, feel free to share it with folks and let them know that it's coming up again. And on that note, let's dive into our session. I'm going to invite you, if you haven't already, to get comfy and cozy, making yourself really comfortable with either seated or a laying posture, potentially. And beginning here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life. Every exhale, an opportunity to release. To let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to savor it, taking time to appreciate it, and to notice how you respond. Okay. Let me invite you to scan either your outer or your inner environment, whichever feels right for you. And as you scan, the invitation is to appreciate and drink in all the things that are beautiful, useful, or even just simply neutral. And then letting your gaze land on one thing in particular. Letting your gaze land on one thing in particular. And as it lands on that thing, pausing to notice the qualities that you appreciate the most in this moment. And then savoring them, drinking them in, letting yourself steep in them as they rumble through you. You might even imagine breathing them in, or that they're swimming through your bloodstream. Whether that's the shape, the size, the color, what it reminds you of, or anything else, taking time to really continue to steepen that as you notice how you respond, noticing the response from your system, And if anything there is pleasant, useful, neutral, then the invitation is to savor that too, and to drink that in as well. And as you do so, I'm going to offer these words, continuing to appreciate and drink in all the beauty of you, of yours. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today with my friends. And thank you for the opportunity to be here in this way as we work through all the various different intentions. And we ask that today's session unfold in ways that support each and every person's intentions, that it deepens into their awareness in ways that not just serve them, but their family, their ancestors, their lineage, and all that they touch and they walk with in this world, including their very communities. And thank you, thank you, thank you to those that have caretaken and stewarded these very lands that have nourished us all, that are available to nourish those yet to arrive. Thank you to the earth, the air, the fire, the water, that make us up as humans, as people, as individuals, all bound, however, by the fifth element that runs through us all, the element of spirit, perhaps perceived as light or a quality of light, perhaps perceived as air or a quality of air, perhaps perceived in the golden glow of the earth herself. Wherever it is we perceive her, we welcome. We welcome this spirit, this universe, whatever your name for this is. Thank you. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. As we start off with, we're in the 12th house, House of the Liver, Liver Meridian. And we're working with some, what seem like challenges around endings, as this is the 12th house, no mistake, no surprise over here. And then the transition from the 12th house goes into the first house, into a new beginning, into a beginning that... typically speaking, like a baby coming through that birth canal, as you know, I love those analogies. We actually don't know what's on the other side. So it's working with the understanding of that, like, I have no idea what's coming. And in that, I have no idea what's coming, how do we embrace it? Are we anxious? Are we fearful? Are we celebratory? Like, hey, I actually don't have to know what's coming. It just gets to happen, and it gets to move through me, and I don't have to overly be in charge of any of that. Is it something else? And whatever those emotions are for you, and there's a wider range of variants here, but there's a strong element of thinking, overthinking, overanalyzing, worrying, which typically creates confusion as it demands... the thought process itself demands time and space. So in order to receive that, the system will sometimes boot up a layer of confusion, of worry, in order to get its needs met, which is really a beautiful thing in its own way. Excuse me. As we work with this, it's actually working with the emotions stored in the very midline, in particular around the sternum area. And it's working with the theme of self-trust, like being able to so deeply trust yourself as you move through this life, that you actually, in a way, get to open into it just a little bit deeper into the experience. There gets to be a little bit more easefulness. Amongst, yes, Tough stuff. Yes, tough challenges. Yes, pain. Yes, hurt. Yes, even maybe a sense of loss or grief or anticipatory loss or grief. And the energy that I have around this area is that it's simply a threshold, like you're standing in a doorway. It's a process of what's emerging through you. Not necessarily something to overly have to figure out, even though there might be logistical details to take care of. There may not be a sense of having to overanalyze, overthink, overdo, overfunction in ways that just add to the stress and create more layers of potential exhaustion, fatigue, depletion. They create an energetic drag in the system. That's essentially what we're unhooking. It took a lot of words. But there's this not quite collapse, but not quite upright, but something in between that feels kind of like this heaviness. And as we begin to meet that energetic drag, I have this image as well of an anchor, just like dragging, not ever finding like a solid traction point. It might get caught on something here and there, but there isn't necessarily a sense of being really anchored amongst it all, and that too carries its own weight and heaviness. And it's like we're dragging around this anchor, looking for something to anchor into, thinking that it'll make us happy, thinking that it'll give us something. And yet, even when we do sort of stop and pause in those places, when we get sort of hooked or attached to something, it typically creates its own tendency to create even more overthinking, overanalyzing, overdoing, overfunctioning as you're pausing and the mind is overly getting engaged and involved again. So as we work with this heaviness in the center of the chest that works with the themes that I've outlined, including self-trust, we're working with the very front of the heart space as well. And the other side of that sternum, and the back side of that sternum. And we're also working with the maternal lineage. We're going to do a cellular repair here through mom's side, restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health. And it's around the theme of abandoning yourself, which is in part what's creating this whole dynamic, if I can speak to it that way. And in addition to that, cell repair through mom's side, which I should finish off. It's going back 6 generations, and it's with the emotional frequency, and it's just like the burden of all the emotions, the burden of the heaviness that comes with over processing, over functioning, over overdoing on that element of life, on that wavelength of life. And we're also going to run hydration here to support loosening up some of that heaviness and starting to give it some room to flow through the very midline of you. Then I'm seeing this image of an insect. I forget the fancy name. Leparium is a word coming to my mind, but I'm not even sure if that actually fits the scenario. Of an insect that's like pinned to its wings or its four corners or its edges. And then it's preserved, and you can actually like see all the cool like bugs and insects and learn about them. Sometimes they're at zoos or in science classes. And it's like there's this attempt to pin right through the chest area in that same area what's been bugging you. And it's like I just have to figure it out. I just have to understand it, and then it can go away. Except, ironically, the figuring it out or the attempting to sort it out actually just sometimes ends up keeping you stuck in it and stirring up the same thing, agitating it all over again and creating a cycle where you stay sort of stuck or trapped or in a loop. So for that element, we're going to run a Sidri. It's going to continue for the next 8 days, so until shortly after we meet again. Starting with C, circulation of all the healing resources, blood that carries our passion, nerve or communication, lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, write it down to all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids, and those are the guys that lower inflammation in our system. And we're also working with loosening up anxiety, depression that's related in the mix here, and healing all elements, including our nervous system and our immune system. And the next thing that we're working with circulating here is the balance of yin to yang, the feminine essence of nourishment, and the masculine essence of protection, and finding that right sort of balance, along with hydration, helping the cells to take in water and joy and release any impurities that no longer need to be here. Then D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, take out the clutter of all that no longer needs to be here. What remains can be regularly reorganized and utilized for healing. Then all the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before, followed by integration, introspection to shift the underlying consciousness. We may think of this as the release, the surrender, the final drop dropping, the letting go, letting go. And we're linking it to a permission that ties right on theme here. And the words are just simply, you are not stuck. You are not stuck. You are not stuck. And it's really interesting to me that it came up that way versus like you are liberated, you are free, or anything along those lines. But it's actually on purpose working with where the greater emotional stickiness is and where that sticky layer of attachment may still be having some residue. So as we unhook the residue, the stickiness, and we begin to work with this area, we're also going to run lymphatic drainage all the way around the entire heart. I actually see it having a very visual experience today, which is often the case. But the heart, it has like, yes, it's a 3D structure, but there's like little flashes of energy weaving around it, going like 360 all the way around it and doing it from multiple different angles and supporting the system in basically looking at flushing out any toxins, gunk, waste, along with low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, and we're doing it from like every which angle. And it's starting on the outer of the heart, but then I actually see it going to the inside of all four chambers, the upper two atria and the lower two ventricles. The atria are more like vessels that receive, where the ventricles are more like the muscular components that help to, well, some might say circulate or pump the blood. And my understanding of it is more refined with the sense of it actually pauses the blood. And I say refined in the sense of that's just the order that I learned it in. So I learned, much like most do, that the heart was the pump, and then it turns into this like refined state of learning around that, which was the clarity that I've already shared. I won't belabor that point. But as we work with the lymphatic drainage through the four quadrants of the heart, the upper areas, which are the receptive, might be seen as the feminine, the yin. The lower chambers, which are more active in nature, might be seen as the yang, the masculine. And there's this intricate dance, feminine to masculine to body, to feminine to masculine to body, that happens as it circulates through the heart and through the body. And what I'm seeing is almost like a butterfly has sort of like four components to their wings. They have the two, I know it's two wings, but like if we imagine it as four components, two uppers, two lowers. I'm sensing that as the butterfly flaps its wings in the heart, it actually creates the winds of change throughout the entire system, throughout the imagining energetically. I know this isn't really, we're gonna take some liberties, is what I'm about to say. And the left, upper left atrium is managing, it seems like, the energetic nature of the upper left quadrant of the body, the upper right chamber of the heart to the upper right quadrant of the body, lower left to lower left, lower right to lower right. Do you get the idea? And the it's working here specifically with, like, the as the lymphatic drainage is doing its thing, the winds of change. And then, just a heads up, I'm gonna head to a Christian book known as the Bible in just a moment, and we're gonna work. And it's a beautiful book, and also it's been used in some interesting ways that have caused some pain and some suffering in this world. So I know it can be a loaded area for a lot of folk to head into. And it's going into the understanding of, as I recall it anyways, Genesis 1:2, of being like the wind moved across the water, and there was a change. There was something that got created within that. And there was the movement of being without form, without substance, to coming into to formation. And we might even imagine that the winds of change that are running through your very heart are where you're actually creating. How it is you're moving your body, how it is you're moving through your life, how it is you're manifesting what's coming your way, how it is you are, in other words, investing in this version of reality. And for some of us, there's tremendous heartache that keeps recirculating. And for some of us, there's more ease that's recirculating and some joy. And that changes from moment to moment, to day to day. So it's not about the nature of what's circulating so much. It's just about aligning the energetics so it can actually flow. So it's not getting stuck. So it's not moving. So lymphatic drainage, in essence, is cleaning out any overthinking or any overanalyzing or any excess mental activity that's creating disruptions in how your heart is meant to conduct energy throughout your entire body. And in fact, beyond it, up to, they've measured it 17 feet away. I personally think it goes a little bit further than that, and maybe a lot further than that. The idea is that the heart may be our broadcasting station that we radiate out to the world. And if we aren't accurate in what we're circulating, then we may be met with the external experience of not being understood, of being misunderstood, of being not met, of being not seen, of being not heard. And sometimes we don't see it in here because it's a whole lot easier to see it out there than it is in here often. So this is cleaning up. I know I'm using a lot of words to speak to this lymphatic drainage, but it's a pretty involved lymphatic drainage here. And it's cleaning out a whole lot of excess worry in the wake of this process. And as that happens, I actually see it in a good way. Releasing the weight, the heaviness at the mental body level specifically. And as that cleans out through that kosha, through that sheath or that covering of you, it actually begins to make it less necessary to be a divisive layer at the mental realm, so that there's greater transparency between your inner world and your outer world. And relating to that, running one more permissions that it's safe to be yourself in this expression of your heart. It's safe to be yourself. And we're linking that to, it brings like tears to my eyes. All the little yous, age 3 and under, all the way back to the moment of creation, to the moment of conception. It's safe to be yourself. It's safe to be you. And I hear like a faint echo carried on the other side of that, like it's like the other side of that coin, which is not understood from the sense of the personal self. It's understood from the sense of the mystery of God, universe, spirit. And if we can imagine that as you, just for a moment, just for fun, just because we get to play with this idea, just because we want to. And the words here are, I will be understood. I, referring to the mystery, the source, spirit, will meaning like not your personal will. It doesn't happen on your timing. It happens on the timing of what's unfolding in your soul's journey. B, being. And the stillness that comes with being. And then understood. Be clear, be known, be apparent, be something that is beyond the mental realm even of understanding, but is known at a level of awareness or a consciousness level, at the heart, specifically of consciousness itself, one might say. So the words again, as a totality, are I will be understood. And again, it's not coming from the personal self. This particular expression is coming from that which is beyond that. And as we work with that interface, one might say the soul is the interface between those two. We're linking it into another cell repair, restoring cells again back to their fullest potential of health. This time going down dad's side of the family lines. We're going back to four generations. But it's also working with the fourth house and the spleen or the subconscious that is connected here, and the ways that we stay safe and we've organized being safe and the reaches of our subconscious mind. And the age four as well. So we're marrying a lot of fours. And four often carries an energy of being like grounded and stable, and also able, because of that, to take some really good adventures and risks and explorations and contemplations that might rock the boat, in ways that get to be okay. So as we work with this trinity of fours, shall we say, this trinity of stability inside of you, and we go through dad's side of the family. We're working with something that seems to be propagated around age four, which is when we're actually, this is the time 3 to 6, really, when we're learning about love and sexuality. And we're working here with the information that wasn't clear around love, the information that wasn't made known around love because of the role models that you had, which didn't have their clarity. So there was this like frustration point of like, how do I figure it out? How do I get there? If I can't learn about it here, where do I find it? Which tends to send us on those quests to seek, to learn, to find. And related to this, there's actually a past life of someone who was a very strong seeker and didn't actually get the results they wanted, didn't find the answers, but instead landed in a field of almost like there was a premature awakening. And that can create some unsteadiness and instability. And it can even show up to a degree as psychosis that can be temporary and reverse. But in this individual's case, they couldn't actually relent. They couldn't let go of it, of the seeking. So they just kept propagating their own illness, their own sickness. So this past life energy carries a weight of like, maybe that's not for me. Maybe I shouldn't go there again. Maybe it's kind of dangerous to understand the fullness and the truth of who and what I really am. So as we unhook that eighth chakra, keeping in mind that this isn't you. This isn't something that, put a different way. When somebody passes on, we think in body talk that all the unresolved energies enter into a giant pool. When a new being comes into formation, they scoop up a bucket of that pool water and they sort that out in their lifetime. So this is one of those little droplets that got scooped up. That said, it's actually kind of dangerous to find any level of change, and you should actually just stay right where you're at. That is linking into the liver. We're working with circulation of all those same healing resources to release the stagnant quality behind that, and as that stagnation unhooks and creates movement, creates momentum, creates all the things that the liver does, creates action, activity, and also allows for things to hum along all on their own in ways that you don't have to micromanage them. Like, thank God, the liver does 500 metabolical reactions every single second. Like, thank God we don't have to manage that. And like, thank you, liver, for taking on all of that. And that's just the physical stuff. Like what it does on an energetic level, it's no slouch. It's a huge meridian, and it carries a vast amount of like gravitas to it. And right now, the components of that meridian that we're working with is actually like straight on the crown of the head. And I'm placing my hand this way because it's like, and I've seen this before. This was a while ago, maybe it was 2, 3 months ago, where it was like this energetic figure of a bear claw. And the claws, there's four of them, are all carrying something different. So we're going to work from the left side to the right. And in that first claw, there's this idea of you have to grasp, or you have to cling, or you have to hang on to you, to what it is that makes you, to what it is that has created you, to what it is that you get the idea. In the second claw, there's actually just an expectation of never being found, an expectation of living in chronic depression, an expectation of that's probably not possible, so don't bother noticing it or looking for it. Even though that's to a small degree why we're all here on this planet. And there's this sense of really strong doubt, uncertainty. I don't have quite the right word for it, but it's in that vein, it's in that territory of like, I probably can't get there. That's probably not for me. And yeah, low self-esteem might be a catch-all phrase for that. Move on to the third claw. The third claw is a little bit more colorful. It's got kind of like Native American tribal markings on it. And it carries the energy of like, this is what was natural, this is what was true. And there is a natural blockage that's supposed to be there and not allowing us to be fully aware of that at a certain point in our life. It's just not meant to be there all the time. And so for this, we're actually linking it into Ganesha. And the energetic configuration of Ganesha is thought to hang out at the base of the skull and going down into the brain stem. Is the trunk of the elephant. Ganesh is an elephant. And then the legs of the elephant come down to the blood vessels that go through the neck. And Ganesh is thought to carry the energy of either placing or removing obstacles. So it's meant to keep us in the dark for a certain amount of time. And then it's meant to loosen up and to make way and to make passage for information when we're ready for it in life. And that's actually not up really to you, as much of a piss off as that can be. But the idea is that it unfolds in just timing of when you're ready, so that it doesn't actually create something like that past life of like burning us out before we're actually able to be present with what is. Okay. So obstacles shift when they're ready in right timing for the evolution of your consciousness might be a summary of that. Heading into the fourth claw. The fourth claw goes down all the way into the right eyebrow and into the sphenoid on the temple side there. And it's just carrying a disorientation. Meaning, you know when you feel kind of almost like nauseous or sick sometimes and you're like, your head is spinning? You can have like that sort of like head spinning thing without the nausea and without the sickness. But that's often a time when most people can relate to it. And maybe that comes with a hangover, for instance, or something else. Doesn't have to be from alcohol, it can be from lots of things. But that disorientation, as I was saying, can be there without necessarily any other like nausea or upset. And it actually carries a purpose. Excuse me. As I'm burping up a storm here, this is probably for me too. This disorientation is a quality that's necessary to begin to learn to be with so that you can be comfortably available, and it's usually not very comfortable at all, to traverse the void and the Bardos, which I feel like I'm dropping in some really big concepts, so let me back up. The void is basically the container of the nothingness and the everythingness that is the mystery of this world, this life. The Bardos are the, I think it's Tibetan Buddhist concept, and it's often referred to as something that you face after you die and before you're born again, in like the consciousness realm of the soul's journey on the other side. And this is particularly in alignment with the oh, hang on, I'm having a menopause moment. So as we work with the the essence is that this is supportive ultimately in finding your capacity to rest peacefully in the truth. So the Bardos can be faced during one's lifetime, meaning it doesn't have to happen between lifetimes. It can actually happen during one's lifetime. Doesn't have to, but can. Okay, since we work with that and that fourth claw, it's actually like the bear's pinky finger, and it carries the heart meridian. I'm getting the awareness, this is really cool, of it carrying the heart consciousness of source itself pulsing through you and supporting you in being able to navigate through the mental body layers of confusion, layers of disorientation, even when you're like, why the fuck is this happening to me in my personal world? Jeez. I can't. I'm so upset. I'm so in suffering. I'm so in agony. Why is this happening? There is still a certain level of, even though it's not usually recognizable when we're in the throes of that all, there's a certain level of support that's being highlighted in the sense that you're actually like here. You actually have the capacity to develop whatever needs to be developed and other capacities to face this journey that you're on, whatever that may be. It kind of carries the energy of the poem Footprints, for those of you who are familiar with that one, which carries the understanding of when we're walking, seemingly walking alone, that's when we were actually being carried by source. And there's still something else it wants to express, which is this is actually where we go to unhook from the mass consciousness and the stuff that can be like just like we don't need to constantly be attending to the suffering that's happening with our day-to-day unfoldings, including, you know, elections or hardships or challenges that we're actually meant to have a moment at least. To just like, even for just a half a second, if we're just like, okay, I got enough of a break, I can go back in and be with what is kind of thing. It gives us that pause point, much like the heart as a physical organ is meant to pause. This is pausing at the mental level. Okay, I got there with the words. And as we work with that, it's linking into the sixth house, which is all about awareness and discernment and taking action in terms of what's aligned most for ourselves. And we're just simply running a cellular repair on being able to absorb nourishing supports. Which is simple, but one of the more profound places to land in our lives. As we do that for the entirety of the small intestine, Thinking into the 12th house again. And we're now looking at where that small intestine interfaces with the liver. And there's a sense of like rawness, of being rubbed the wrong way, of being like potentially as extreme as feeling like tortured by life and its circumstances. And here in that space between the small intestine and the liver, we're unhooking a lot of confusion, a lot of worry. And as much like I've used this analogy, I think even last week, we're going to put like a maple syrup tree tap into it. This is how you know I'm Canadian. And we're going to put that tap in to continually drain out the stuff that's here. That's no longer necessary. So it's actually going to be an ongoing over the next 18 hours. So until roughly 3:45 my time anyways tonight. So the middle of the night. And whatever that is on your timing. So the next 18 hours or so. And then there's this awareness of like, I didn't get my way. There's this frustration around, I didn't get what I wanted. I didn't get what my personal way. Almost like a 2-year-old who was like, but I wanted that and I didn't get it. But I wanted that. And that cookie, that treat, that thing. And then there's like, as a 2-year-old tends to have the meltdown or the temper tantrum or the inward implosion, disappointment, there's a response of some sort from not getting one's way. And we typically play that out into adulthood, elderhood, even potentially, well, elderhood's a big word, I'm not going to bring that in right now. But the idea that that you may not always get what you want. And this sounds like such harsh medicine. But it's not meant to be. And the last part of that phrase is, and we get what we need to almost unfold our consciousness. And that comes through sometimes a lot of pain and a lot of conflict and a lot of like, what the fuck is this? And in that pain, we're actually linking it into those heart spaces that we worked with around the physical heart, as well as up to where that fourth bear claw was on that right side of the sphenoid and eyebrow. And we're going to tap this part out here. It's being defined by the consciousness of resting in your heart, resting in your heart. And allowing it to basically layer by layer sort through and devour and digest and metabolize and alchemize the pain, the hurt, the suffering, the what the fuck is this? The shock. I'm going to invite you to breathe and receive here. Okay. And as we do that, through the, it's connected to that right bear claw, on the right eye there, or right temple, there is underneath the base of the left skull and going down into even the lower left jaw, there's this layer, this bioenergetic piece around grudge. Like, there's a sense of, like, I've been wronged. And it's sort of tied into that I didn't get what I want, but it's even more so, it's a sense of like, almost like righteousness of like, I didn't actually get what I needed. I didn't get what I wanted. I didn't get met. I didn't. And that energy of the grudge is just hanging in onto you and perpetuating lack consciousness. running a cellular repair at the level of the bone. It's going through both mom and dad's side, 8 generations. And it's working with all the various points where there was family feuds. All the various family feuds. And learning to basically hold a grudge. And just for now, much like a permission statement, just for now, you don't have to hang on to that. I mean, just for now, as an experiment, you don't have to hang on to that. And as that releases, I actually see it coming off of the left heart, left shoulder, left chest, left arm, kind of through almost the entirety of that upper left-hand quadrant of the body, and unhooking it as well from the very heart space that it was connected to that kept it sort of in motion or circulating. And as it slowly surrenders over the next while, it begins to open up more heart capacity to do what the heart does best, to create harmony, to create ongoing ease and connection to ease, and to support us in really connecting to our own respect and our own dignity and our own love, our own love. Beautiful. And as that does its thing, there's probably the most three powerful words coming to surface as a permission statement. And the words are just simply, I see you. I see you. And it creates the presence of the observer, the witness. It creates the consciousness of that energy field. So I wonder what it might be like to imagine that this field of energy meeting you, seeing you, hearing you, available for you, inside out, outside in all directions, is present. And I wonder what it might be to take a moment just to rest in that, almost like you could lean into it and take a load off. And who knows, maybe you can in just this moment or at another future time in contemplation, reflection. With that, we're doing an emotional release of sadness from the spleen meridian that carries our subconscious information and also carries nourishing energy. It's meant to rise up the body, and I see it going all the way into now, like the head brain, and anchoring not just both hemispheres, but also anchoring the midline. And by anchoring, I mean not so much anchoring, I mean more so offering nourishment. Offering nourishment. And we're going to tap this out here. Invitation to breathe. Invitation to receive. Giving that around a breath. followed by two more. Now the spleen that we were just working with, and big part governs the health of the mouth. The mouth is thought to open to receive nourishment in food. In breath work, we actually purposely work with it to bring in air, which may just be the essence of spirit. And as we work with this mouth region this time, running lymphatic drainage, and again, clearing out those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing. And we're particularly working with the points where it feels like nourishment can't always enter from the mouth and enter into the rest of the system, for feeling too scarred or too potentially like broken. Since I'm feeling like too scarred or potentially too broken. We're unhooking a bundle of beliefs here that carry the energy that you have to work hard for nourishment, which then in turn depletes it. So then you have to work even harder for that nourishment, which then in turn creates more depletion, and it creates this plateau, stuckness, that can't seem to move up or down. And it's like to the point of frustration where it doesn't even matter which way it moves, just like let something move. And then we're actually working with linking the entire consciousness of the mouth being that vessel for receiving nourishment into the feet. Ah, okay, it's playful. I was trying to figure this out. I was like, to walk with it, to ground, what are we doing? But it's actually literally to take your foot out of your mouth. And to unhook those times where you might have felt like you said the wrong thing, or just like literally put your foot in your mouth. Any embarrassments, unhooking any layers of embarrassments, along with shame from this area, embarrassment and shame. Okay. This is actually just a little bit of a cleanup from something that was happening earlier in the session around releasing and unhooking confusion, which we've done in a few places at a few times. We're actually just now unhooking the idea that you maybe internally like gaslighting yourself to sometimes even perpetuate cycles that may even be at times even like abusive to yourself. Like for example, I'll speak for myself. Like there was a point where I really convinced myself to stay in a certain relationship, in a certain job, that wasn't all that healthy for me. Both are true, relationship and job. I've got a list, I've got a history. And the idea is that I then somehow was like making myself wrong and convincing myself to stay, even though I knew it's not what I wanted. But I somehow internally twisted up my own gears to be like, but I have to stay. And if I don't stay, then this could happen. Or I have to stay because that might like hurt my workplace if I leave. Or I might, you get the idea. And the internalized way that our mind hops around to, I've spoken to this in different ways, make ourselves wrong. And in this moment, it's actually coming up as gaslighting or internalized gaslighting. And in part, that was a learned response from your caregivers and their caregivers and their caregivers before them. Okay, and as we unhook that through the different areas, we're actually unhooking it from the field of you. Cool. Haven't seen that come up before, but if you can imagine yourself less as a body or a mind or a soul or anything, but just an energetic field of information, we're actually unhooking that from your field. You don't actually need to carry that with you anymore. As we unhook that habit pattern, we're handing it back to where it came from, your caregivers, to their higher selves. So that way it can become whole, because if they have some and you have some, then no one ever gets to rest easy. And they, as you hand it back to their higher selves, get to hand it back, if they so choose, to their higher selves, and so on and so forth, until it goes all the way back to potentially source itself. And we're just simply tapping that in here. Breathing here, receiving here. Okay. To integrate everything, we're running interesting permissions, and the words here are just simply, I'm proud of you. And offering that to any parts of you, any areas of your body, any areas of your psyche that really need to steep in that time as it's going to run for the next week. I'm proud of you. And linking that through to that liver meridian, to continue to process all that it needs to the heart spaces. And I say spaces, meaning your regular one that you're familiar with, as well as that the high heart, which is interesting, this bear claw on the right side, because the in my awareness, the high heart is more on the prefrontal cortex, but it's like guiding there, potentially. We'll see what comes up next week. But also circulating this through to the spine and the diaphragm. I'm proud of you. And then tapping that in, breathing here, receiving here. Giving that a slow, deep breath. Letting yourself rest in this. I've got a short song, it's just under 2 minutes. And it's Familia Unida, which is like, I think, I know my Spanish is weak, but Family United, which feels really appropriate to play. And it's by Sonido de Alma. To invite you, if you haven't already, to find that point of resource if it's of interest, or continue to rest exactly where you are here. Invitation to breathe and just simply be for a couple of minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today in these ways, and thank you for being here exactly as you are. Thank you for calling this medicine in. Wishing you a beautiful rest of your day, your week ahead. If you'd like any additional support, you'd like to hang out afterwards, I'm available. I have time. Happy entrance into May and Beltane in the coming day, tomorrow, that is. Wow. Okay. Bye for now, y'all.